Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well then, Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty, gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials. So stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Hey, Danger Dangers here with a special Halloween announcement. Part 1 of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror adventure real play podcast, loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, and starring some of history's most infamous monsters. I'm Danger Dangers, and I'm your host / Crypt Keeper.
Hi, I'm Ben Magnet. I play Mary Frankenstein, our barbarian paladin. And last time, we got Imhotep back!
Yay! Hi, that's me. Hi.
I mean, he was back before that, but still, he's back on the team. We had feelings. We had hugs. I almost broke his back because I was hugging him so hard. And then some of our favorite vampire merchants, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, came up, and one of them just bit Imhotep. And Louie went from a vampire spawn to a full-on vampire. Which is,
I have nothing to say about that. That's just how it happens. I didn't do anything. I had nothing to do with that.
Also, myself and the Invisible Man, we had a bit of would you call that an argument or more of like a disagreement? Because I messed up things with Marlo, but then Jack also screwed things up. But in the end, we reconciled very quickly. And Jack was very kind enough to give me a fire extinguisher necklace. So yay, that was nice. Then we made it through London. London totally sucks. We were able to get through that, thankfully. But yeah, now we're on our way to go see a witch. And Mary's ready for a fight because Mary wants some payback. He wants to let the barbarian out to play.
Hello, I am Grayson. I play Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, the party's rogue. Actually, I take that back. Not so visible man or invisible, whatever. So last episode, yes, like Ben was saying, we got our cleric back. We missed that guy. Mm-hmm. As fun as it was to learn how to redo it all, I feel much better that we have Daniel back and that we have Imhotep back, because he's got that supportive element that, like, I think we all kind of need. Had a quick heart-to-heart with him, and he also knows that Jack is starting to become visible. And it's not the right time for that shit right now. Other than that, we went for some shopping stuff, and Jack was finally able to finish the project he's been working on for a little while. Since he saw that he couldn't do shit against Dracula, who was floating up in the air, he now has a grapple gun.
Is that why you wanted a grapple gun?
Very much.
Huh.
I was like, these fuckers are flying. I can't do anything.
You know, that makes sense.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz, and I play Imhotep the Mummy Lord, our cleric.
Yay!
And yes, I'm back. Last session, definitely had nothing to do with that vampire spawn becoming a vampire. Nothing to do with that at all. We made our way through London, luckily, without getting caught. And Fiona and Belial have come calling on that deal that I made with them. Oh boy, I'm going to have a long talk with
Mother Carrie and I.
Hey, Darren, can you remind me exactly what the context of the deal was?
The favor that they asked of you was get Carrionite to sign her soul and the souls of the Weird Sisters over to them. However you can, in whatever capacity, get us her soul. We don't care how.
Okay.
And you know, if you want to tell Jack about that deal with Mammon, that'd be awesome.
Mm.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
We'll see about that.
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron, and I'm playing the Phantom of the Opera, our bard. Last time, I got to be Huey and Dewey's special blood man and get all their attention. But then Imhotep showed me up,
hey, man.
Turned Louie into a goddamn vampire.
I'm going to plead oopsie daisy.
I got to have a very nice heart-to-heart with Imhotep, and I have, you know, decided to leverage him and tried to make up to the team for my actions. And they seem to want me to be good. So I think I know how to do that by emulating the shallow traits of others that I assume are the good things.
Gotta start somewhere.
So we'll see how that turns out.
Hi, I'm Jordan. I play Larry Talbot, a lycanthropic warlock. And last time we did some shopping, I got another delicious crunchy pearl, a potion of healing, an alcohol beverage, and a 10-foot pole. I hope I can use it at some point. We then stealthed our way through London with the help of Jack's forgery skills.
Yay.
And then we continued on our path towards Carrionite, which has Larry feeling very nervous, but also better because we know what we're getting into and kind of feel like we have sort of an advantage of we're coming in.
All right. And with that, let's head back to the swamp. So before we start and before we do card of the day, because you guys booked it over here and didn't take that additional rest, you guys have 24 hours until the full moon hits. So what I'm going to do this time, I'm going to put all of you in charge of when that happens. So you tell me how long you spend doing whatever it is you are about to do, and then give me the signal when to start the real world timer to have the encroaching full moon begin.
Oh.
So, Jordan, card of the day.
We have the world and the lovers.
Ooh, the world, though.
I was going to say it if you didn't.
You gotta. All right. The world is you have resistance to thunder, lightning, and force damage. Spells you cast that deal thunder, lightning, or force damage deal 1d6 extra damage. This does not appeal to Eldritch Blasts. Boo. The lovers. You can use an action to know what a creature most desires. Once per short rest, if the creature you target has an intelligence score 4 or higher, you can cast Charm Person or Charm Monster without expending a spell slot. Let's go, lovers.
So, where we left off, you had just arrived back at the edge of the swamp, back to the familiar felled tree, still in proximity to the Black Pudding.
Dickhead!
You suck.
And you feel that familiar feeling of dread and decay in the air around you, as you faintly hear indecipherable but distinct whispers of ghosts flitting by around you.
Are they coming from a particular direction?
It is just kind of the ambient energy around you.
Okay. Hey, guys, what are we going to do?
It's a very good question.
And I'm going to tell you what we are not going to do. Limotep leans out of the vehicle, points where the Black Pudding is. We are staying far away from that fucking thing.
I second that. I do not want to go anywhere near that as Mary continues to flip it off.
It gurgles and pops in a way that looks like a wave.
Oh, a wave?
I think it's flirting.
I've flirted with enough ooze before.
I know last time we were here, we kind of got lost in the forest a little bit and we had to do some checks. Would I be able to remember or decipher in what direction we need to be heading to?
The path is making itself known, so the way forward is not a secret.
Well, I think she is expecting us.
Before you progress into the swamp, Larry, you feel a familiar chill coming from the amulet of Renfield, and you will hear echoing in your head as his spirit casts a message cantrip.
Ooh.
Before you progress any further, I understand the urgency of what it is you're doing. The Necronomicon is, of course, a very powerful asset, but I just want to make sure you have your priorities in the right place. The timing is a little tricky right now, and all I will say is this swamp and this witch are not going anywhere. So it might be more practical and more prudent to come back to this another time.
You're right. Time is of the essence. And true, we need to get the Necronomicon, but we need her scythe. That is a very important part of her plan going forward. So I think we have to do this now.
I understand where your morals are lying, and I get that you have this need to undo the damage done by Dorian Gray. But again, those aren't going anywhere, and Dracula's coffins are still out there, and London's decay is continuing, his power is continuing to grow, and he's continuing to get more desperate. You don't have the time to do this. That is not a time-sensitive thing. Dracula is. So I highly suggest that you put this aside for later and deal with that problem first.
You're right. Dracula is a time-sensitive thing, and we need that scythe to free Vordenburg. Because his soul is slowly burning away, so if we can get that scythe and then go after Dracula, we can save his soul. And we need the scythe to help you, too. So just bear with us a little bit longer.
There is nothing I can do to stop you from this course of action you're going on, but it is a death sentence that you are walking into. So I will only say one more time, I would much rather that you be making your way back to London to deal with the other coffins. But if you insist on going on this fool's errand to get that scythe, then just don't die in the process.
I will try my best. All right.
And you feel the temperature begin to fluctuate within the amulet as the message cantrip starts to wear off and as Renfield exasperatedly sighs.
Oh, when aren't we walking into a death trap?
Right.
It's no different here or somewhere else. It's all the same.
With that point, I would think that you would be a little more tactful about this right now.
Hmm?
That you are always walking in to death traps. You've pushed your luck quite a ways, and you are not well prepared for this. So I suggest you get to the Elizabeth Tower, go into Big Ben, and go to the armory where you can better prepare yourself to deal with not just Dracula, but also this witch. But if you insist on going in as you are now, then fine. I literally cannot stop you from doing that. So just as long as you know what you're getting into.
Well, there's one thing very effective against witches, and that's wolves. So time might be on our side here. Anyways, the decision's made, we're going in. I'm sorry if you don't agree.
Ooh.
As I have said, it is not my decision to make.
Right. And then switch back to the group. Okay, guys, are we gonna... How do we wanna go about this?
Considering as how we kind of know what we're getting ourselves into, do we wanna walk in there straightforward, or do we wanna be a little, I don't know, tactful?
I think being honest and straightforward is the best way to go. Always.
That is uncharacteristic of you, but I appreciate the honesty.
Mary just glares over her fandoms like, bullshit.
It is a recent philosophy. Sorry, everyone. But I think we should try it. And we'll save Carrie and I. Or whatever it is we're doing.
I don't know if we'll be able to save her, considering as how we kind of took out her other two sisters.
Well,
she is beyond saving. She needs to go. She needs to go away permanently. So here's what I propose. If I go in there, obviously I'm going to cause us probably a lot more problems than what we already have. So if we are going to try and do any sort of negotiations with her, I say that it is you two, as I point to Imhotep and Larry, you go in first. But at the very first sign of trouble, I jump in and we end her and take the site for ourselves.
And we're talking about pointing himself a little bit confused. He's like, I understand why Larry, but is it because of the weird sexual tension we had? Like me and Carrie and I?
Hey, there's nothing weird about it, man. It's fine.
Although it was very weird. You don't have to be coy about this. Very weird.
Actually, we don't know whether the very long thing that was parading as Imhotep has made it back yet or has changed its form. So we could maybe get close.
I mean, the reason why I was thinking Imhotep is because Imhotep's better at talking than I am.
I mean, if you want to talk her, I'd probably say this guy and I'll point to...
I was going to say, I feel like his charisma stat is way better than mine. Mine's only 13, dude.
Yeah,
I got a +1 to all my charisma checks.
Oh, damn.
I'm just happy to help.
Okay, let me rephrase, because at least Imhotep knows what we really need to do, and you, as I point over to Eric, you like to screw things up every once in a while.
And I apologize for that behavior.
Thank you.
Yeah, screw things up is a little rough, but true. Should we at least let Gonzo know that we're trying to snag the book so we don't get docked on the whole late fee?
I don't know how we can contact her. I think we just kind of figure out and go from here.
Unfortunately, Jack, with Gonzo, I don't know if we're completely screwed over or... Either way, we'll try to explain to her exactly what happened and why we are late. But hopefully things are okay in Stratford. At least hopefully they'll still be welcoming us. Because I still need to talk to Marlo, and those are two conversations I am not looking forward to having.
Well, I might have something to help you with Marlo. I never gave him the formula for the brain fuzz thing, and maybe it'll smooth things over a little bit if you offer him a little bit of information.
Huh?
Back in Mary's arc, Jack had copied down the formula that Victor had written down on the wall.
Oh, wow, that's a callback.
That is a callback, damn.
But I think I have a possible solution to Imhotep's lack of charisma. I do so happen to have a bottle of Riz.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So if we want to go in there,
a bottle of Riz.
We could either go in there honestly, or Imhotep could try and pretend to be man who is too long, and we can try and saddle up as close to Carrie and I as possible and see what the deal is.
See, here's the thing. My persuasion stat is a +5. Hey. My deception's already is only a +1. Not very good at lying.
We need to make you the Rizzler. I got you.
Okay, how about this? If we're going to continue going that route, you guys are going to have to let me run ahead, and I can try and stealth.
Yeah, scout.
To see if that man who is too long, I think that's his name, that guy is not there.
Right.
Because if he's not there, then that plan would work, potentially.
So we've got plan A, plan B. Plan B is complete unfiltered honesty.
Imhotep has a plan, but it has nothing to do with any of you guys, and it is entirely to get him out of a contract.
Well... If you're in there in front of everybody, that kind of works for you as well.
So I might appreciate that bottle of Riz for some deception checks. I might want to make with Carrie Knight.
Hey, I have no idea about that. I'll happily give you the bottle of Riz.
Oh, good. What does the bottle of Riz do for me exactly?
It increases your charisma modifier by 1 until your next long rest.
Well, we'll hold off on that for now. We'll see what happens. Like, I'll hold on to it, but I haven't drunk the bottle of Riz.
Okay. I have given it to you.
So do we want me running ahead to see if man who is too long is or isn't
home? I think that would be, if anything, you're going to gather some intel. So that does not hurt as long as you don't get squished.
Right. I'll be as safe as I can. I've got the broom with me.
That's true.
And that'll help me get out of there real quick if I need to. Plus, I've picked up a few little things that'll help.
Jack, also, just in case, these are really, really sick. And I'm not saying you're going to get caught. You probably won't get caught. But if you do, and you just want to have some fun with it, I pass Jack one of my Jekyll Juice vials.
Oh!
What does that do?
One of 6 things.
All of which are beneficial, not all of which will be relevant or helpful.
You might turn into Christine.
Fantastic. All right, well, Jack will start running ahead of the others, so... Unless anyone has any other boosts that I can snag, just in case.
All right, go ahead and roll stealth.
I'm just double checking. I'm not doing disadvantage, right?
You are not exhausted anymore.
Oh, my God.
You're free.
Yay. What a full night's sleep will do for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a 23.
With a 23.
Ooh, I think I see him.
As you continue along the path, you feel enveloping behind you that fog that obscures the path that you are walking on, and you lose track of the way out. But continuing forward, as you walk through the Barovia mists,
no!
You make your way towards a familiar path of swampland beneath you that seems to beckon you forward down in the general direction of Mother Carrionite's cottage. And along the way, with your 23 compared to a 13, you are not spotted by the man who is too long, who is gathering together multiple zombies and a shambling mound.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody.
And you see him fiddling with a ring, holding it up to his ear and listening in.
And all he hears is,
I know the sexual tension was weird. Don't blame me for it.
Well, I don't know what to make about all of that, but be prepared to offer a warm welcome, everyone.
So potentially he might have heard, like, everything. Is there, because I know you said that I've kind of lost my way back, but is there any way to do any form of check to, like, see if I can make my way back?
Go ahead and roll Arcana.
Okay.
I'm going to say DC of 18.
Oh, yeah, I most likely did not get 18. I got 6.
Mm.
With a 6, the fog is erasing your footsteps behind you.
Well, then, if the footsteps are gone, what I will do is I will jump on the broom and see if I can get that sucker as high as I can, and then see if I can, I don't know, try and lift my way out of the fog, or at least lighten it to maybe lower the DC.
Go ahead and make another Arcana check. I won't make you roll animal handling on the broom. What I will have you do is make another stealth.
Yay!
Stealth and then Arcana?
Stealth and then Arcana.
That's 25.
Compared to a 5, you still remain hidden.
Yeah.
So now go ahead and roll another Arcana.
It's going to be 15.
What I will say with a 15, where you are positionally does not match where you left from, and extending out in all directions is more wetlands. And they all, even from up above, they all look largely indistinguishable from one another.
Okay,
And what I will also say, just to kind of throw you a bone with this, you get the suspicion that this swamp will not allow you to leave until Mother Carrionite has been dealt with, either until she gets what she wants or she is dead.
Okay, hopefully the team understands that I wouldn't normally do something like this, but...
Ooh!
Don't get too excited. I wouldn't normally do this, but I'm going to go ahead and light one of my flash grenades and throw it in the direction that I saw Man Who Is Too Long, so that way maybe the sound and the light actually maybe shows figures.
What is your goal here?
It's basically to let them know that I can't come back, and I know it's a lot of interpretation.
Okay, so you are trying to throw a flash grenade to signal to the rest of the party.
Right, saying that essentially, like, I can't get out, and we've got company. But like I said, I know it's a lot of interpretation.
I would say for this one, roll survival.
Okay.
And everyone else roll perception.
Okay.
Alrighty.
That is 19 for me on survival.
With a 19, I'm going to say the DC to notice the flash grenade is going to be 14.
That's a nat 1.
Everything's fine. I got a nat 20.
Yay!
23. 16.
My goal is to simply, like, you know when a car is driving through mist and the headlights kind of hit a figure and it kind of, like, shadows them?
Oh, Dan, if I can see an outline of him with the mist with the nat 20, can I get a message cantrip to him? Range is 120 feet, but I need to see him.
Roll just a straight d20 for luck.
Okay.
If you get above a 12, then this will work.
Okay, no, I got a 6.
Okay, so what I will say, with your nat 20, you are able to notice the commotion, and you are able to see some scattered outlines. The shadows are displacing themselves as soon as they appear. So they are constantly moving and shifting positions, and you can't get a lock on anything.
Hmm.
Given that information, you can probably intuit and interpret that the magic of the swamp is keeping everything within it obscured.
Okay.
With a 23, Phantom, you see similar.
Okay, okay.
You get all of the same information minus the implications of it.
All right.
With a 16, Imhotep, you spot what Jack is doing. You don't see the dance that's going on with the shadows. Mary, with your nat 1, Jack did something real cool, and you weren't paying attention.
Oh, irony. I'm still just flipping off the bog monster. I'm like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
All right, so do with that information what you all will.
While the flash grenade has gone off, I'm assuming maybe my position has also been compromised.
I rolled a perception, and it was a 2.
Oh.
Oh, fantastic. Well, then, if I can, I wanted to try and run over to this tree and then rehide again.
Okay, so you would like to descend back down and try to hide in a tree.
Right.
So go ahead and roll a stealth to hide.
Okay. That's going to be... Ooh. I don't know if I got a 6 or a 9.
Oh.
So with your modifier, what does that bring it to?
It would be a 17 or... It would be a 20.
That's a 9.
It's 9? You sure?
The dot goes at the bottom. That's a 9.
Okay, that's a 9.
Okay, so that's a 20 then.
So with a 20, you are still hidden.
Thank you, Daniel.
How much time would you collectively say has passed out of 24 hours?
20 minutes or so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say probably like 30 to 40.
Okay, continue.
Okay. Well, guys, obviously something happened. I think we should head in.
Agreed.
And Phantom's already gone.
Woo! All right, chasing after.
And I'd say I'm already halfway there. Halfway there.
All right, we head into the wild murky yonder.
So, as everyone makes their way in, are you attempting to be subtle or are you full steam ahead?
I don't know about the rest. I am full steam ahead.
Yeah, I'm more worried about my buddy, so I didn't think about stealthing.
So Mary's just going to be like, yeah, and screw you too, you big blob of black bully that no one likes. Oh, okay, I think I've vented enough. What are we doing?
Running.
Imhotep is just kind of rubbing the bridge of his nose, watching all this happen, following.
Happy to be home.
He's like, oh, it's good to be back, question mark?
You know, to be fair, I'm not a particular fan of the black pudding either.
Oh.
And a shadow emerges from before you that stretches and stretches and stretches. And you break through the barrier of the fog to see the man who is too long, fiddling with his ring. You arrived more quickly than I expected.
While he's talking, can I step in front of Larry and fiddle with the ring and kind of whisper to him? Can you remove a curse?
Who, me?
Yeah. Do you have remove curse?
I did forever ago. I don't anymore.
What do you mean you don't have it anymore?
I changed it out on a level.
You don't have to remove curse anymore. This isn't going to be as fun if you don't remove curse.
I changed it out on a level. I'm sorry.
I mean, I have remove curse. I was just hoping to have it be more fun and flavorful when you do it and I do fun shit.
I'm sorry.
Fine, I'll remove my own curse, Larry.
I am not here to fight with you. Though that being said, should you choose to throw fisticuffs. It will not end well for you.
Who is this guy?
As he says the word fisticuffs, I look at the group and I go, you thought this guy was me?
I don't know, man.
Look, he took your form and he was kind of convincing. But at the same time, I also had my doubts. But
okay, but when was the last time you ever heard me say, oh, let's throw fisticuffs?
He didn't say fisticuffs last time.
We were mourning. We were just happy to have you back. And he did not say fisticuffs.
Look, let's not be pedantic about vocabulary use right now. Mother Carrionite is ahead. And she is waiting and willing to negotiate. You have something she needs. She has something you need.
Phantom has, like, his hand up.
Are you waiting to be called on?
Yeah, thank you. Hi. I got in trouble recently.
I did not call on you. Mother Carrionite is ahead. And until she gets what she wants, you will not be permitted to leave this swamp. So I suggest that you hear her out and negotiate.
Is it my turn now?
Does anyone else have anything to say?
I do. How's this for a negotiation tactic?
Okay, now it is your turn, masked man.
Oh, for God's
sake. Thank you. I was in trouble recently for doing some underhanded shady shit, and I'm trying to do, you know, whatever people think is the good thing. You said you were willing to throw fisticuffs. Would you say that's the good thing to do?
I wouldn't say it's the smart thing to do.
Oh, that's not helpful. Okay, go back to what you were doing.
From my position, can I see the Necronomicon on him?
Go ahead and roll perception.
And Larry's thinking to himself, oh no, did I give Phantom my own anxieties? I'm so sorry.
15.
With a 15, it doesn't seem like it's on his person.
Clarification question for the Lover's card. It says you can use an action to know what a creature most desires, period.
Yes.
Can I do that multiple times?
Yes, there is no limit on that.
We're about to spam it.
Spam that shit. Spam.
Long man, what do you want?
I want to know what the shambling mound wants.
Okay, I have to think about that. Give me a second.
I'm so sorry.
What you get from the man who is too long is that he wants you to start something.
Checks out.
Larry, if I were you, I better tell Mary quick because Mary's about to start something.
Hey, Mary, I don't think right now.
Large fellow, it is your turn to speak. I'm calling upon you now.
Oh, no.
Call upon me now?
Yes, you wanted to say something?
He wants to pick a fight, Mary.
Yeah. How's this for a negotiation tactic? Tell Carrionite if she wants to keep her head firmly where it is.
I'm going to cast calm emotions on Mary.
Good call.
I was trying to intimidate him. Damn. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Describe calm emotions.
You attempt to suppress strong emotions in a group of people. Each humanoid within 20-foot radius sphere, centered on a point of your choosing, within range, must make a charisma saving throw. The creature can choose to fail or a saving throw if it wishes. You can suppress any effect causing target to be charmed or frightened. You can also make a target indifferent about creatures of your choice that it is hostile towards. So I'm just kind of like... He kind of does, like, the Jedi mind trick hand thingy. And he just says the words, chill out, Mary.
Mary, if you would like to resist, then make a charisma saving throw, but you can choose to fail.
Mary chooses to fail, and he just goes, pardon me, that was actually kind of rude. My apologies for the outburst, man who was too long. But see, the thing is, we desperately need that sight. And I know Carrionite would not rather go to fisticuffs. I am quite aware that she is aware of how strong we are, or how strong we have become since our last meeting. So it behooves her to essentially give us what we need, and we can negotiate with her later after we have finished with our main task. Please relate that to her. And I step back.
That's amazing.
Imhotep kind of looks at his hands and goes, they use calm emotions, not, like, make incredibly eloquent.
When I'm not in a bloodthirsty rage, my mind becomes quite clear.
We should really work on your anger management. That was quite eloquently spoken.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The man who is too long looks very impressed and gestures to the south and says, you can tell her that yourself. And
If you are as eloquent with her as you were with me, then perhaps you two can come to an amicable agreement.
Imhotep raises his hand now.
Masked man, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I was wondering, do you think reaching an amicable agreement would be, like, a good thing to do on, like, the scale of ethical things to do?
All right, I'm going to level with you right now. I'm a fucking demon.
Okay, so what would you do?
I wouldn't give a shit.
So I should give a shit. This is a tough one. You can pass it on. I'm thinking now.
All right, Imhotep, what did you have?
I love the fact that you give everybody a title, but you just know me by name.
I mean, I was you for a while.
That's a very good point. I see you have a very fashionable ring.
Is this a question?
Well, does Carrionite possess the same ring? Is it a set of three or only a set of two?
I don't know that I want to tell you.
What does he want?
And Larry, you can sense the thing he desires most is to not say.
He in fact does not want to tell you.
Does he want to say yes or no more?
Probably wants this conversation to end.
I would like for this conversation to be over, so...
I knew it.
Either attack me or keep moving.
I have a really, really, really... dumb idea that could potentially waste my 1/5 level spell slot.
Buddy.
Buddy.
I don't know. We're so early.
Okay.
I don't know what it is yet, but I'm for it.
Oh my god.
Grayson just said, oh my god. What's your oh my god?
I completely forgot. The Stone of Dreaming actually gives me Remove Curse.
Yeah, you can use charges of the Dreamstone for Remove Curse, Greater Restoration, or Cure Disease.
Okay. That might change things a little bit. Do we know that Jack is here?
You know that Jack is around.
While the conversation was going, I was going to say that Jack was also going to try and jump over to this area, so I didn't know if I needed to do another roll.
You're getting awfully close, so that's a stealth with disadvantage just because of how close you're getting.
Hold on. Don't do that just yet.
Okay.
Imhotep is going to fiddle with the ring and is going to say quite loudly, I am aware that this ring that you granted to me is a curse. While it grants me some things, it is still a curse upon me. One that I myself cannot remove. And again, to reiterate, this is a curse that could be removed.
Yes, I understand that. You've made that very clear.
Kind of looking around to see if, like, Jack is catching the drift.
I think after you say it a couple times, Jack's just kind of like, what the fuck is he doing? Once he realizes what you're doing, he'll kind of like push his head up over the canopy of the tree a little bit.
Now the question is, do I do the stupid thing that could very easily put us into combat, or it could be very, very fun and very interesting to try? What do you guys think?
I mean, I know my vote, but
I know my vote.
I'll accept whatever happens.
No, never mind. I looked at it again. Never mind. It's the same problem I had last time I tried to do the spell. I didn't read the casting time.
Oh.
I was going to slip the ring off and hit him with a planar binding, but it's a 1-hour ritual.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to be like, bitch, you're mine now.
That would have been a really good move.
But it is a 1-hour cast time.
Hate that.
Damn it.
I mean, we could still try and beat his ass and then he's stuck for an hour. I don't know.
So did Jack do the remove curse?
I have to be there because I think I have to touch you in order to do it. But I was going to say that if he understands, then Jack's going to try and dart back over to... Actually, his full movement is 50 on the broom or 45 on foot. So unless I have to make another stealth roll.
You know, it's not as important right now. The main reason I was going to have you do it was because I would be rolling disadvantage to do my dumb thing against him because of the ring. But since I'm not doing it, we can hold off on removing the curse until we're a little bit closer to Carrionite.
If you want to spend an hour,
Dan.
Will he just hold tight? How much time do we have?
How much time have you been having this conversation?
Okay, I don't know, like
45 minutes.
Duly noted.
Don't know.
No.
So it's been an hour and a half.
I hate this.
You still have 22 and a half hours.
it's already been kind of noted that there's a curse, and Jack finally understands that he has removed curse. So he's going to head back over, and unless there's anything I need to do.
I was going to have you roll stealth opposed to perception. The perception was a nat 20.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, then.
So flying directly in front of his field of vision.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like,
It takes a long way around. Gently hovering above the ground.
Just takes out the dagger that beheaded him, and he just kind of like waves high.
Phantom's going to put his hand up.
All right, no longer invisible man. What do you want?
You don't know that.
You told me.
You were different.
You guys really told him a whole lot of things, huh?
We were so sad.
I don't want anything from you anymore.
All right, are we getting somewhere with this, or are we just stalling?
Okay, no, I have a question.
All right, what's your question?
So, like, some of these people seem like loose cannons now that I'm looking around at them. If one of us misbehaves, are we all, like, in trouble, or can some of us still, like, do our own thing, like with you and Carrie and I?
I feel like that's very situationally specific.
You talk to them. You know what they're like.
Yes, I know what they're like. What you're asking really depends on how you split off, who does what to fuck up, and by how severely. There's orders of magnitude involved in
this.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense. But, like, even if we kill you, we're cool, right?
Well, I mean, you can try. It's not gonna stick.
I think that's a we're cool. You guys want to talk to the witch?
I think we should move on to talk to the witch.
Emotep, did you need help with something?
I mean, if you want me to keep a third level spell slot.
Don't know what spell slots are, but...
Yes, I could use some help.
Okay. I'll turn my back to the man who is too long to hide the stone, and then I'll spend, I think it's 2 charges to do remove curse?
Yes, it is 2 charges for remove curse. Okay.
Now it's good. And then he'll just put it back in his pocket, walk over to Phantom. Hey, Phantom, didn't you say you might have had a part for this guy in a play?
Well, yeah, that's why I just checked in with him. We're cool. So
as you turn your back towards him, he is slightly closer.
Creepy.
You're going to need to, like, move more visibly on stage. Well, we have all of rehearsal. I'm not worried about it.
What's going to be the play about?
All right, you can discuss specifics on your way to talk to Mother Marionite.
I just want to note that Imhotep has slipped the ring off and, like, into his bag. And it's kind of... He's, like, holding his hands together so that his ring finger is hidden.
And Imhotep, are you the last person in line making your way down?
Sure.
As everyone else passes the man who is too long, you see him very briefly after you slip off the ring, with a bit of a jitter, shifts into generic Monster Manual Flesh Golem, shifts into generic Monster Manual Rogue.
Oh, no.
Generic Monster Manual Warlock. Generic Monster Manual Bard. Winks at you, and then is gone.
Oh, no. He's flexing.
Oh, shit, Kesa. All right, we'll have to deal with him some other time.
I just gave one of my players a spell that would be perfect for this shit, but I don't have it. Damn it. Moonbeam fucks with shapeshifters.
Oh, that's right.
He just kind of keeps walking.
Imhotep, you good back there?
Yeah, you know, as good as I can be, and follows along.
And making your way down a path that is lit by ethereal lanterns, guiding you down a narrow path in between pools of swamp water and murk, you follow the trail down towards a cottage where, sitting on the porch in a rocking chair, flipping through pages of the Necronomicon.
Oh,
God damn it.
Is Mother Carrionite, and you can see beside her on either side of the cottage are 2 enormous lantern-shaped cages, one of which has the spirit of Granny Grimhilda floating inside. That gives a little wave of her hand, and weeds sprout up around you, wave back and forth, and then wither and decompose. as she flicks her fingers, tapping disgustingly long talons against the edge of her cage.
In high spirits, as usual.
So is there anything we need to do to prep for this?
Even though I am now in a somewhat calmer state and my mind is a little more clear, but I still believe that if you were to have me negotiate for the Necronomicon or even talking with these witches, I'm going to burst out into and it's going to start a fight sooner rather than later. So I still suggest that it would probably be more tactical if I stay behind and watch and at least be the first to jump in when things eventually do go south.
Hey, Mary, have you ever thought about teaching linguistics?
That thought never occurred to me.
Maybe it's something that we can get you into.
Do you have any books on that subject? I really only know this common tongue, to be perfectly honest. I mean, a few others, but that's what I'm mostly known for.
Guys, can we table this for another time, maybe?
Yes, we must wait then. My apologies, Larry.
It's a fantastic idea, but I think later.
Yes.
Larry, make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, ew.
Oof, that's a 2+2, 4. Beautiful, wonderful 4.
As you attempt to step forward, you feel a lurch in your stomach root down and hold you in place as your body attempts to keep moving.
Oh.
But your gut stays still.
Ugh.
Larry, you okay?
No, I don't feel too good.
And if you look up in the direction of Mother Carrionite's cottage, she has one hand held up in place as she is continuing to look down at the book in her lap and continuing to read.
What is Imhotep going to say? He wants to say something.
Honey, I'm home.
Not that. Anything but that.
I'm sorry. It was right there.
It was, and you took it, and I'm proud of you, but I hate you. We have come to negotiate. You have something of ours, and we have something that you are interested in.
With her other hand, she holds up a bony finger.
Bitch, did you just tell me to wait?
She continues reading.
I cannot believe this after all we've been through.
Then she sticks that finger down to where she left off on the page and then looks up at you.
You know, I'm actually a little bit hurt that you did the whole, oh, wait, I'm in the middle of something to me, ma'am.
Are you negotiating on Lawrence's behalf?
He looks back to Larry and is basically looking for permission.
You can see he's got a very queasy look on his face, but he makes eye contact with you and he nods.
So he takes a deep breath, gives Carrionite the 1 second, downs a bottle of Riz. You know those guys who do like the shots of like fireball, like they'll take a knee and down the whole thing real quick?
Take a knee.
Yeah.
That's all a bottle of Riz is. It's just liquid confidence.
Fireball?
Just it's just he pops open a bottle of fireball, takes a knee, stands back up.
Imhotep looking good.
Yeah, so cool.
Hell does things to a man.
I see you're taking this seriously.
She closes the Necronomicon, tosses it on the ground, and then a series of skeletal and zombified hands reach up around it, lock over it, and pull it beneath the surface of the ground.
We needed that.
Imhotep says, that book, what do you see when you read its pages?
I see some entertaining reading. It's not the book you're after, though. Well, not exclusively.
There is more, yes. You wish for the power of the wolf by taking part of its soul. We've established this. We know this by now. What do you gain from it? If the Necronomicon is not enough power for you, then why do you need this?
The wolf is a consolation prize. What I want...
And then the hand that she's held up this whole time, she twists around and closes her fingers on. And Larry, from your stomach, bursting through your chest and belly, is a witch-shaped face indent pressing up against your skin as though it were a layer of silicone film. And you begin to slowly get dragged forward by it towards Mother Carrionite.
Can I help keep him and stay in place?
Hold me.
Go ahead and make an athletics check.
Okay, good. My athletics is really good. Don't you dare screw me over, guys. Okay, cool. That is a 17 plus 7, so that is a 24.
With a 24, yeah, you can hold Larry in place. Larry, take a d6 of necrotic damage.
Okay, that's gonna be... 5.
That's spicy.
It's not agreeing with me.
I'm assuming that that makes my point clear. What I'm after is the soul of my sister. The wolf would be a nice addition. But what I want is full, complete control over this coven. And a coven has three. I would be willing to part temporarily with my reaping scythe if you would be willing to give me back ownership of my sister. Let me excise the soul that belongs to me by rights. Then I can lend you this weapon. Of course, I don't trust you at your word. I'm going to need to get it in writing.
And she materializes a contract.
Oh, don't do that. Oh, no.
Has it been long enough, Imhotep?
I've gone through so many of these damn things.
I understand you've been through quite an ordeal, so you should be very familiar and very good at this by now.
Yeah, he starts looking very carefully over the contract. Don't even spot you.
The terms, as written, I will loan you for the span of, let's call it 3 days, this reaping scythe, and in exchange... I will extract the soul of my sister Sycorax from Lawrence, and then you will all leave this place. You will return that scythe to me in 3 days, or I will take it back by force. If there's anything else you would like to add on to the deal, we could continue to negotiate.
How much of my escapades were you able to watch while I was south, shall we call it?
I'm gonna roll a d20.
About 5 episodes worth.
The important question is, are those 5?
Which ones?
I say, what I'm trying to do here is dependent on if she watched the Dizland stuff.
I'm gonna say by that point, Man Who Is Too Long was already gone.
Okay.
He left somewhere around layer 4.
Which one was 4 again?
That was Phlegathos.
Sick. That makes this even better. The tool that you grant to us could be very useful to us beyond whatever it is Larry needs it for. I don't fully understand this whole thing with paintings, whatever it was. I offer you... Can I do a little extra fun thing with thaumaturgy that's, like, not written, but just a little flair?
Depends what it is.
He levitates, like, an inch or two off the ground.
Yeah, sure, why not?
I offer you power, and he floats into the air with his thaumaturgy, and he spreads his wing. He lets all the horror that it is, like, stretch out. You hear kind of cracking and being gross. A power of the hells. A power... of souls at your disposal. The souls that you will hardly need to find. You simply need pluck them from a line, and they are yours to play with. In exchange for... How much do I want to get out of this? Do we want to go for permanent control of the scythe?
I vote yes.
Well, yes, but I'm trying to figure out how much he's willing to say.
Like, how much he's willing to push his luck.
Yeah, exactly. How much luck he's willing to push... Because he's sort of lying, sort of not. So I reach into my bag and I pull the contract out. This was given to me by 2 of the Devil Lords that are very interested in your escapades here. I will be glad to offer you this contract. And he pulls it back just a little bit.
in exchange for your terms, as well as a year with your scythe. Well, not even a year. We'll say 3 in-game months. 3 months with the scythe. And I offer to you access to souls. I offer you power for you and your coven. And I offer you patronage to the hells.
Roll either persuasion or deception and don't tell me which one.
Also, Dan, can I try the help action?
Sure. What are you doing to help him?
I'm going
to
grab Imhotep's shoulder and try and tell him you're really going to give her that much power. Trying to show that, like, I'm scared of the fact that he can give this to her.
That's going to be a 19 or a critical failure.
I had her roll insight opposed. 19. So she is going to say,
that is quite an escalation for a contract that I am not certain you have the authority to barter for.
It is true that I do not necessarily have the ability to alter the terms of the contract that I offer to you. But I do know that the judicators are quite, shall I say, focused on their own deeds and do not pay much attention to those who are being punished in the realm. I'm not sure they would mind if one or two went missing every day.
You make a fascinating proposition. Let me see that contract.
Okay. What do we want? What does the group want? What does Larry want?
Larry wants the scythe, mainly. He could honestly give or take the Necronomicon. And he... I was trying to find an opening to say this. He does not want to give Carrionite Sycorax.
Phantom's going to be pretty upset if Carrionite gets a new soul surgery on Larry.
Would Larry be more comfortable if it was Imhotep doing it?
He doesn't want to give up the soul. It is coming from a place of both bitterness from how he was treated prior, both times he encountered Carrionite, and also there is a little bit of wolf influence not wanting to give up the prey. So it'll be a little bit of a fight.
I will also say time has been passing. How much?
In this exchange, I would say 10, 15.
From previous exchange to this exchange.
Including travel time?
Maybe 10 minutes of travel time and 15 minutes of talking. So 20, 25 minutes sound fair?
Yeah, 25 sounds good.
You have 22 hours.
Can I tell with my lover's card both what Carrionite truly wants, which I feel like is redundant, but I just want to hear it, know it, because I can. And then with this new information message to Larry, could I hit Imhotep with it?
I believe so. Daniel, you be the judge and answer of that question of what is it that Imhotep wants most right now.
What you get from Imhotep is two things. He does legitimately want what is best for Larry. And he thinks that getting this to Sycorax, getting this to Carrionite, and just being done with the witches is best. And if he can get more out of it, he's willing to. You also catch that he really, really needs her to sign this contract. Whatever this is, he is offering because he needs her to sign this contract. It's not from him, but he needs it signed.
Oh, because in order to fulfill your contract, do you just need...
She needs to sign her soul over. And what you get from Carrionite, she wants as many souls as she can get and hoard. But most specifically and highest priority is the soul of Sister Sycorax.
Okay.
Which she will say,
I am willing to extend the lease on my reaping scythe, but I will need to get more out of it. You want to hand me souls from the hells? That is tempting. But I prefer the souls of those who have not already fallen. I can give you the scythe, for 3 days and take only my sister. If you want more time, I will require more souls.
Imhotep, how much time do we need the scythe for?
I just had a really dumb idea of stuff.
I also had a dumb idea.
What's your dumb idea?
I was going to offer mine.
Your what?
Soul.
Imhotep pats Jack on the hat. You will not be doing that, Jack.
I'm a man of science. I don't think it's worth very much.
Jack, how do you feel when I told you that I was literally in hell? Like, I literally shook hands with the devil. He pulls out the sword. I have the sword to prove it.
And the horn and the...
The horn and the wing and... Is none of this clicking and it's been what?
I'm focused on the greater good. If we need that scythe and it's that important and we're not going to be moving any other direction, then we have to offer something if we're bartering here. You dangle the carrot in front of the rabbit, they'll go for it.
If your friend wants to offer over his soul, the choice is his.
Yeah, well, I'm making the choice for him. He doesn't know how souls work. He's gonna get the whole soul business.
I understand the sanctity that you put on them, but you have to admit, you're being a little hypocritical.
I mean, not wrong, but All right, message to Larry.
Ping.
Write these words on my contract.
Okay. Trusting you.
You're using Larry's illusory script spell, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will have access.
You will have access.
To all the souls.
To all the souls.
Of. What was their layer again?
Phlegathos.
Phlegathos. You will have access to all the souls of Phlegathos.
How do you spell that?
Phlegathos.
Phlegathos, okay.
In exchange to gather more souls of the living, for yourself and the devil lords Fierna and Belial. What I'm trying to make the term sound like is that you will have access to the souls of the dead to make it easier for you to harvest the souls of the living, and you and Fierna and Belial will split the deal, split the pot. That's kind of what I'm trying to make it look like.
Okay. That has been written.
So he reads all the terms, including the ones that I just had Larry write down. And then he offers her the contract. And he says, in exchange, I ask that I be the one to excise your sister from Larry using the sickle. And then kind of lean to Jack and I go, be ready with the hell. Because I'm going to do something stupid. Because that's just what we're doing today.
Yeah!
As soon as she signs.
Is there something specific I should get ready for?
I'm... Might need to make an attack.
She is going to cast Detect Magic.
No, don't do that yet. Don't do that just yet. Just a second. Until the spell ends. No, it's not it. 1 second. Hold on. No, that's not going to help. Would the Detect Magic come? I mean, it's a magical contract from the devils.
It should be pinging like blindingly.
It should be fucking on fire.
Roll persuasion or deception. Don't tell me which.
Oh boy. That's a 10.
So good news.
One of my personal favorite tactics. I will not hold it against you. But if you are trying to get me to sign over my own soul, you're going to need to barter harder than that.
What would you require?
The soul of your friend, to start.
Mm-hmm. This one points to Jack.
Yeah, I'm down.
The essence of the wolf. And the souls consumed by the wolf.
Larry, like, with that, is like flailing in Mary's arms.
If you want me to forfeit my own soul, those are the terms.
Okay.
And she looks surprised and a little impressed.
He offers the contract again.
She's gonna roll insight.
That one.
That is a 16.
Damn it.
Roll opposed.
With my deception?
Deception or performance.
Here's a dumb question. If I use Enhance Ability on myself, can I give myself one more roll?
Describe Enhance Ability.
Enhance Ability. You touch a creature and bestow upon it a magical enchantment. Eagle Splendor. The target has advantage on charisma checks.
Go for it.
I'm blowing all of my fucking spells on this.
It's a fucking nat one. The best roll that I had was a 15.
Ooh. What does she intuit from you?
She intuits... so close. I want to give her something, but I don't want to give her absolutely everything. She intuits that I have something else up my sleeve, but that I am willing to sign to her terms if she signs to mine. It seems easy because he really is willing to sign those terms. Like, you sign my contract, I will sign whatever one you give me, but I might have something else.
Sensing that you have something else up your sleeve, I think, well, no, she's not the one who's the appropriate one for this. Granny Groomhilda is going to lean over to Carrionite and say,
I sense some trickery afoot. Would you be willing to gamble the way they are?
I would prefer not to shoot down a sure thing, but what did you have in mind?
I just kind of give Groomhilda a look. Shut the fuck up, nobody likes you. Nobody likes you.
But they're not the only ones with something up their sleeve.
I'm glad that they killed your stupid badger.
And Carrionite will say,
I suppose... This is a little out of character for me, but I suppose the opportunity is a little too enticing. One more soul. The soul of Richard Milo Renfield.
And Larry, you feel that amulet spike with ice.
Yeah, you!
Is that a soul that I can offer to you? He is dead, is he not?
I cast Mind Sliver on Carrionite.
Describe Mind Sliver.
You drive a disorienting spike of psychic energy into the mind of one creature you can see within range. Range 60 feet. The target must succeed on an intelligence saving throw or take 2d6 psychic damage and subtract 1d4 from the next saving throw it makes before the end of the turn.
All right, so she will make the saving throw.
Holy shit.
That is a 26.
That's a save. Damn it.
And she is going to once again usher Sycorax forward. Mary, if you would like to try to restrain Larry.
Hold me down.
Yep, holding him down.
Roll athletics.
Damage me, you jerk. I dare you.
I rolled a 19.
Nat 20.
No!
Stop it! But that 20!
So you are both dragged forward.
Do I take damage?
D6 necrotic damage.
Okay. That's 2 damage of necrotic. I'm going to Hellish Rebuke.
All right. And is that a saving throw?
A dexterity saving throw. Come on. Okay, it's still damage on a half save, so at least we've got something.
It will damage her no matter what.
Yeah.
I was going to get all artsy and crafty up in here.
That is a 14.
14 doesn't save!
So go ahead and roll the fire damage.
Yes!
And then cut it in half.
Okay, because she's resistant.
Yep.
Can I tag something on at the end of when I see her light on fire?
Sure.
Can I attempt to do a command?
Go for it.
Oh.
It is a wisdom saving throw.
23.
What crappy rolls I got on that. That's such a shame. 18 damage and then cut in half.
So she will take 9 fire damage.
But you know what I slap on top of that?
The card captor's curse.
The card captor's curse.
Very, very clever workaround. Go ahead and take a point of inspiration. If you kill her, her soul gets trapped in a card.
Now we've got some leverage, damn it!
I just need her to sign the stupid contract.
I get the feeling we all have a lot of stuff we'd like to do. Do we want to do an initiative real quick? Not necessarily for combat, but just like...
I think so.
To organize.
Well, it's about to be for combat.
But it's free? Is it combat? Will we fight? Is it fighting time? Fisticuffs time?
It would have to be like, just sign the stupid contract. Sign the contract. Sign it. Here's the whole card captain hearse and goes... Oh shit, for real?
Like, I got you!
And everyone roll initiative.
We are the outcasts, the misfits you might say.
We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place, but us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful, dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly fright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including Mo, Pink Shy Guy, Leninc13, Sparks Witty, and CJ. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini campaigns, and one-shots, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode is Daniel Cruz as Imhotep, the Mummy, Ben Magnet as Mary, the Frankenstein Monster, Jordan Nelson as Larry Talbot, the Wolfman, Grayson Norman as Jack Griffin, the Invisible Man, and Aaron Coffold as Eric, the Phantom of the Opera. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Additional music this episode was provided by Joy Lynn Music. Listen to new episodes of D&D Dark Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
And man who's still alone, does he still have the Necronomicon on him, or do I have to roll perception for that?
Roll perception.
All right, cool.
I had already checked on that, I thought.
You got an inconclusive result.
Oh, okay.
But it didn't seem like he does. Okay.
All my dice are going to dice jail. That was a 2. Perception's a +5, so it's technically a 7.
With a 7, what do you think?
I don't know.
There you go. That's what your perception gets you.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I am your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for. And to, make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're gonna be making comments like that, I'm gonna have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright, I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien. Premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to meet the